One last question. You came back and earned your PhD in history and anthropology. How did that come about?
That was interesting. Those who knew me in my youth would not think me to be an intellectual at all. In fact, I entered the Army after leaving on academic suspension from the University of Idaho as a forestry major at the and enlisted in the Army at the young age of 19. I ended up being driven. As a prisoner, we suffered propaganda, especially in Hanoi, propaganda day in and day out, broadcasts on speakers in the cells, all that. I always had a love of my country. And the propaganda never got to me, but I wish that I'd had more information, more knowledge of my country to counter all that enemy garbage, and drew on a love of history and made a decision as a prisoner of war that I wanted to teach when I got back, to teach history, and to do that in a charismatic, positive fashion, unlike some of the history classes I'd had myself. So as soon as I retired, I went back to school. I had a plan of what I wanted to do. I went back to school, got my doctorate, and began doing some teaching as a civilian college instructor.
And you've continued to do this work to this day.
Well, I continued to be a civilian professor until 9/11 hit, which was only a few months after I got my doctorate. And then I was driven to go back and see how I could apply my academic background and my military experience to do similar education for the Army. But yeah, I've been doing military-related training and education ever since that day, yes.
We, in a moment, as I said, Sam Bass is with these two gentlemen, walk around the airplanes, but a couple of notes. One is Kyle around? Well, there's Kyle. This is Kyle. We have challenge coins for all of you that would like challenge coins. Kyle will have those for you when we end this part of the program. But now, Q&A. Who would have questions of either Jack or Bill? Any questions?
And I always tell people, David, that I am not shy and I don't mind questions on any subject. I mean, if I don't want to answer, I won't answer, but I'm pretty open and don't mind anything that you might want to ask.
And same goes for me.
First of all, thank you very much. Hey, how are your injuries after all the stuff you endured? How's your health now?
My medical health is pretty good. My orthopedic health is not great. Yeah, my back was broken. I had to have surgery and spinal fused and all that, and my knees are falling apart. But generally, I think my health is pretty good. I've got orthopedic limitations of things that I can't do, but it's mostly orthopedic.
Thank you for your service. I'm married to a Vietnam veteran. I'm sure you guys could exchange some stories. My question is, what happened to the American POWs that did die as they were being transported, or they were in the horrible camps? Were they just, you know, buried there? And how was information gotten back to their family about what happened to them?
You mean on the trek?
Yeah, thank you. That's excellent. I had, and I can speak to my personal experience with the one other American prisoner that was with me, and I'm sure his that case would parallel others. He died, sadly, we were only about 2 weeks from getting to Hanoi. When he died, the enemy buried him in the same encampment where he died. He was, well, in fact, both of us were MIA the whole time. I was MIA the whole time in captivity till the releases at the end. It was unknown where his body was for a number of years. I had given my debriefing to the Army of about the general area where that camp was, so they had a general idea. But after the subsequent years, we had an organization called JPAC, the Joint Personnel Accounting Command out of Hawaii, that has teams of military and anthropologists that goes in and does really detailed work trying to find the location of American servicemen and recover remains and get them back to the States. After a number of years, Wayne's body was found, was recovered, did come home and was buried. So that's the case with that one prisoner.
Do you have regrets that we pulled out rather than go ahead and try to win the whole thing?
Yeah, I do. I did very much at the time. We had sacrificed so much, the lives of 58,000 Americans. we had, in my mind, achieved our goals, actually, when I got back over at the end of 71. If we just stuck it out and hung in there, we probably could have maintained it. So I was, I had... The sound of freedom, I love it, I love it. One more. Yeah, I never understand people who complain about the noise of military aircraft operating. It's great, and it keeps us free the way we are. So I had those feelings when I got back. I was never bitter, but it was, yeah. In fact, I'll tell you just a brief one. I'm gonna over time, but I'm gonna cut this short. When I got back and I was asked about my injuries, my back bothered me a lot, and I was really in pain, and it had spontaneously fused, but I had problems. So at any rate, I went in the hospital at Madigan Army Medical Center, where I was to undergo major back surgery. That surgery would keep me in the hospital as a patient for 5 months. I was 2 months in a circle bed, 5 months, or a total of 5 months in a plaster body cast before I was released. But on the eve of that surgery, I was laying in the hospital awaiting, it was like a day or two before the surgery, and on the TV, I am watching the fall of Saigon, and the helicopter picked the folks off the roof of the embassy, and it was emotionally devastating for me to see that, to see us withdraw as we did. Those feelings have somewhat been tempered with time because on a subsequent trip back to Vietnam a few years ago, the end result after all these decades and all these years is Vietnam is doing pretty good. Vietnam is doing pretty good. Some of the fears we had for what would happen if we withdrew and all the bloodbaths and all, there were some problems, but things have sorted out. In spite of still having a communist government, it's very much a capitalist society over there today. So yeah, my feelings are not as strong today as they were then. And in the end, I was and remained a member of the United States Army, serving to defend and support the Constitution of the United States and support